All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. There's a phrase in Genesis 6 that I want to explore a little bit. That'll be Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 9. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." That's that phrase I want to talk about. Noah walked with God. Says that about his great-grandfather, Enoch. Enoch walked with God and had the testimony that it pleased God. Here we have his great-grandson, Enoch's great-grandson, says Noah walked with God. Noah found grace. I want you to know that not everybody walks with God. There's a lot of people in the world that are not walking with God. Not even sure what that means, they'd say. They don't even know what that means to walk with God because you can't see Him. How can you walk with God? But here it obviously says somebody did. Not very many people walk with God. There's an awful lot of people who completely ignore God in their life. And I don't mean they don't believe that He exists. I know they believe He exists. It's actually not terribly intelligent to disbelieve that God exists. All scientific evidence indicates that God exists. There's no scientific evidence that would indicate otherwise. There's not even any kind of discovery ever discovered that would even slightly indicate that God doesn't exist. Everything, even the Big Bang, if you believe in that sort of thing, even the Big Bang is an indication that God exists because that energy had to come from something. Something doesn't come from nothing. It just doesn't just happen. By the way, nothing just happens. Everything has a cause, and God is the cause. But no, even people who believe God exists, which is, intelligence 101, that's just normal thinking, that God exists doesn't mean that people walk with God. It doesn't mean that people are in agreement with God. It doesn't mean that people are doing God's will in their life. But Noah was. It says Noah walked with God. A good question for you is, are you walking with God? Does that even mean anything to you? I mean, if somebody, have you ever stopped to think about how people make a summary of your life? I know that we pastors do that. You'll say, how about that brother, so-and-so? How's he doing? And the pastor will say, oh, he's not very faithful. Now, that's really a very short summary of his life, right? I mean, it's not exactly going into any detail. He might be a really good husband. He might be a really good, social worker. He might be, an intelligent fellow. But the pastor summarizes it all up into what is important to him, right? He says, well, he ain't faithful to church. Sort of a summary of your life, right? Well, God does that too. Have you noticed that in the Kings, in the list of Kings, in the Book of Kings, in the Book of Chronicles, Book of Samuel, these places, they'll just make a summary of a king. And they'll say, he did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's his whole reign. That's what it says. Why? Because that's what matters. That's what matters. It didn't really matter so much how great of a dad he was. It didn't really matter so much how much he accomplished in his... It mattered whether he did that which was right in the sight of God. That's what mattered. That's what gets put into the resume, right? What do you put in your resume? I bet you don't put a whole bunch of junk in there. Right? If you have a resume, you don't want to bore the poor employer with all your stuff, about how... you can do the multiplication tables by the time you were 7 and stuff like that. You don't do that sort of thing. You give them the information that they need to know. It's a summary of your life in respect to what they need to know. Of course, that's what it is. And now God makes a summary of the life of Noah. And He says, he walked with God. What about your life? Are you walking with God? You realize that this is one of the descriptions of salvation. There's a lot of descriptions of salvation in the Bible. The Bible is about salvation, by the way. The Bible is trying to get you to understand this wonderful truth of God about salvation. That is, reconciliation with God, getting right with God, getting eternal life from God, having a purpose with God, having a relationship established with God. That's what salvation is. And this is one of the descriptions. Noah walked with God. It's a description of a saved man that had his life with a relationship established with God, and he walked according to that life, that walked according to that decision. That's the description. There's a description called the new birth. Talks about somebody getting born again and something really changes in his life. That's a description of salvation. It talks about repentance. It talks about being called of God so that God has a purpose for you and sends you out to do a certain thing. Those are descriptions of a saved life, a life that is right with God. Not everybody has that. It's actually in the world, it's a little bit rare. Now, there's an awful lot of people who are religious. The Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. But there's something about it here, and that's that it doesn't show that there was a huge movement of God here among these people so that Noah had this huge following. Noah didn't have a mega church. In fact, the best we can tell, he only saved his family. Three sons, three daughter-in-laws. Those are the only people he convinced. And it doesn't say that his sons walked with God. Some people get in by the skin of their teeth. I mean, they just barely make it. Why? On the shirt tails of somebody else. It's called the sake thing. Did you know that God saves people for other people's sake? That's a big truth. And we haven't even nearly covered it. We haven't nearly explained it. But I'm just going to let you know that you're praying for somebody, it might be the difference between hell and heaven. You're praying for somebody. You decide to live for God for your children's sake. Might make the difference between their eternity. It might make a difference just because you say, I'm going to do the right thing for my children's sake. Whole lot of children get into heaven by the skin of their teeth because their parents loved them, cared for them, and carried the burden for them, and prayed for them, and God let them get on the ark. Isn't that something? Wow! Noah saved his family. That's a good reason to walk with God. That's a really good reason to walk with God. Just do what you got to do to get your family in the ark. Just that much would be plenty. It's a good start, at least. Get your family. All right. I just wanted to let you know that here this Noah claims, as the Bible says, he walked with God. But he was in a generation where not a lot of other people got on board. So sometimes you might have to walk with God by yourself. You might have to walk with God lonely. Still worth walking with God, of course. He was a preacher of righteousness. You know, there's an awful lot of people out there that can explain righteousness to you. I've noticed that. I've noticed that almost any religion works for explaining right and wrong. Almost any religion. I mean, Muslims can explain right and wrong. They might be a little bit off on that, you know, killing your neighbor kind of thing, but most things they're right on. You know, they would tell you that adultery is wrong, and they would tell you that women wearing miniskirts is wrong. They might tell you that bikinis on the beach is wrong. And they're right. It's wrong. They might tell you that idolatry is wrong. Yeah. Most religions will give you a general basic idea of what's right and wrong. You can get the idea of right and wrong from Jehovah's Witnesses and from Seventh-day Adventists and from Buddhists. I don't know about atheists. Maybe they can even understand right and wrong and explain it to you. So being a preacher of righteousness is not necessarily really deep. Maybe that's not what the world needed at that moment. I know that the gospel of the grace of God and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is a way better message to be preaching out in the street somewhere. Because if you preach righteousness, you're really not giving anybody any solution, right? You say, preach righteousness, and people say, but I'm not righteous, and I can't be. I've noticed that people who come to my house, I've had Jehovah's Witnesses come to my house, I've even had Roman Catholics come to my house, knock on the door and say they wanted to talk to me about the Bible. I said, come on in, come on in. It's a very rare occasion when I don't stop what I'm doing and invite them in and have them sit down and tell me what they want to tell me. And they normally tell me how to be good. They tell me what's the way to be good. And I usually come back with them. I had this one lady came with her daughter and she said, you need to be good. And if you're good, God will accept you. And I said, okay, but what if I'm not good? And they said, well, you just need to try harder. What if I've tried hard and now I have no hope that I'll ever be good? They said, well, you just need to get some hope. What's the solution to someone who's a sinner, a true, deep, horrible sinner that knows that he can never pay back the debt that he's done? What's the solution? There is no solution in righteousness. You see, because if you stop sinning today and never sinned again the rest of your life, you would still deserve hell for the sins you've already committed. Because stopping sinning doesn't pay for the sins you've committed. So stop and think about it. Preaching righteousness ain't going to do you a lot of good, even if you agree with it and step on board. Say, okay, now I'm going to be righteous for the rest of my life. What are you going to do about the sins you've already committed? What about all the evil that you've already been? You can't do anything about that. That's why the grace of God that Noah found, this wonderful grace of God that's so much better than righteousness, the grace of God that forgives sinners and gives them a solution. That is the solution of the blood of Jesus Christ that pays all the debt of our sins. And the solution of the Holy Spirit that will enter into a life and transform it so that our offerings become acceptable to God. Wow! That's something worthwhile. That's something worth preaching. But Noah didn't have that message. Christ hadn't died on the cross back in those days. He had righteousness to preach. And he did his job. He preached righteousness. Didn't save a lot of people. Saved his family. Pretty good, but he saved his family. Now, he's walking with God, which means he's kind of walking alone. Somewhat walking alone. Got his wife with him, got his sons with him, got his daughters-in-law. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good church. I don't know about walking alone. I really like it that I have a church to walk with me. It's pretty nice. A lot of people in the world don't have that. A lot of people in the world give their life to Jesus and then they are ostracized from their family. We know my in-laws, my parents-in-law, mother and father-in-law were missionaries in Turkey and they would win people to the Lord, but no real church to add them to. no place for them to fit in. And even now, they're over there and they're once in a while, they'll write, you know, we're still being faithful, but they're not going to church anywhere. Well, because there's no church in their town. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but walking with God sometimes is a lonely road. All you have is God on your side. And I really appreciate God giving me a church to serve Him with and to walk with and have other people that have the same mindset. I think it's a wonderful thing. However, I just want you to know walking with God is the description of salvation He's talking about. So I'm going to bring out a few things. If you're going to talk about walking with God, you're going to, first of all, we're going to have something to say about the departure. You have to depart. You got to start this journey with God. Then you have to talk about the direction. And I want to deal with a little bit about the direction you're headed. And then we got to talk about a little bit about the distance, because this is a walk and it's a long distance kind of a walk. And then we need to talk about the destination. And then I'll finish up with the idea that you got to make a decision. And this is the walk with God that Noah has set up. All right, let's start off. Let's say something about the departure. I want you to know that walking with God is not the way you've just always been. The way you're born, that's not walking with God. and the way you're living in life, just normally living, you say, well, no, I've never changed. I've always been the same. Well, that's not walking with God. Walking with God implies a departure. Where like Jesus Christ walked along the seashore and saw some people out there, and he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets, and they got up, and they followed Jesus. Then they began to walk with Jesus, right? So that's the idea of walking with God. There's a moment in your life where you say, I've got to follow God rather than myself and rather than my family and rather than all the people around me. I got to depart. What does God say? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Walking with God implies you stop walking with those other people and you start walking God's way. It's a transformation in your life. You begin to walk with God. And if you've never experienced that transformation in your life, you're still not walking with God. I want you to know that just the way you are is not good enough. Now, I realize that's a little bit offensive to some people. They say, well, just what's wrong with me? What's wrong with the way I am? Well, the Bible says you're an enemy of God because of the way you were born. The way you were born is an enemy of God. It's in enmity with God, and all the people around you are also considered by God His enemies. Why? Well, because they don't agree with Him. They just don't agree with Him. They find themselves doing what they know they ought not to do. And God has a real hard time saying that's okay with Him. You know, God's just not really in the mood to compromise. God sets down His way of being and He says, look, the way I live, the way I walk, the way I think is the right way. And when you know you're right, it's really hard to compromise with people who you are clear or wrong. That's where God is. And God has a tremendous amount of self-esteem and He's not going to be intimidated by a huge group of people who disagree with Him. So, walking with God has to do with the company you keep. When did you start walking with God? When did you come out from among them? When did you change the direction in your life? And if you haven't yet, you might not be walking with God at all. You might still be an enemy of God. The Bible talks about walking in the light of His Word. If you walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. Walking in light, and in the light of His Word, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Thy Word is what gives me understanding of His will. You know what God said? That He revealed Himself, and His revealed will is in the Word of God. And if you're not walking in the Word of God, you're not walking with God. To walk with God, you've got to walk in His revealed will. You've got to be in agreement with God's Word. The problem that you have is that you want to walk. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's over there in the prophet Amos, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you walk with God if you don't agree with God? You say, well, I think I agree with God. Well, there your ignorance of the Bible is. I don't know how many people I've talked to and they say, well, they agree with God, everything's fine, they're all okay with God, until I bring up something that they're not really happy with. Like, you know, wives, be obedient to your husbands. Ooh, man, they don't want to walk with God then. All the amens I got on that just makes me feel very confirmed in my statements here, but that is what God said. I didn't make that up. Be obedient to your husbands, he says. And somebody says, well, I agree with God except for that. Or you tell somebody, well, you know, the Bible talks about hell. I don't believe in hell. Well, if the Bible talks about hell, Jesus mentioned hell, right? Didn't Jesus tell you about hell? Didn't he talk about those eternal torments? Didn't he say, avoid that place for all it's worth? Give anything up in order to avoid that place. Those were Jesus' words, not mine. You see, but you can agree with God except for certain things, and then it turns out you're not walking with God at all. Because walking with God is agreeing with God. Amen. You say, well, you're way too sophisticated to just turn over your life to some old book. Okay, then you're not walking with God. If you don't turn over your life to this old book, you're not walking with God. Because this is God's revealed Word. And either you walk in agreement with this book, or you're not walking with God. Where's the departure? You got to depart. All right, there's a direction involved here too. And the direction has to do with the same goals and objectives that God has. It's a direction. It's aiming at a certain thing. And I got news for you. If the purpose of your life is to enjoy stuff and to get as much as you can out of this life, you're not walking the right direction. You see, there is a goal. There is a purpose in God's direction. What God is trying to do is aim us a certain way, and it seems like everybody wants to be aimed a different way. I mean, if your goal is to win the lottery and just really have a great time the rest of your life, you're not walking with God. God just doesn't agree with that kind of thinking. I know you say, leave the lottery alone. Good grief, it's the way we get poor people to pay taxes. Yeah, that's right. No, I disagree with the lottery. I think it's covetousness. And I think if you buy lottery tickets, you're doing wrong. There you go. I said it. You see, people get all distracted about the world, and they get distracted about riches, and they get distracted about experiences, and they get so focused in on this miserable little tiny speck of a moment that we have in this life, and they're not focused on what God is focused on. They don't think the way God thinks. They're not aiming at the things God aimed at. It's interesting to me how God cared about people and He wanted to come and preach the gospel, and yet you can't get almost anybody in the world interested in preaching the gospel. Even when I tell people that I was a missionary, they say, well, how do you know Spanish? I was a missionary for 30 years. Oh, I think that's just wonderful, feeding those poor, hungry people. I said, no, I wasn't feeding anybody. I was preaching the gospel. And then they don't know what to say. It's like a conversation ender. You talk about ending a conversation fast. I was preaching the gospel and trying to start churches. Tell people how to be saved and get eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And people just don't know what else to say. They say, oh, okay. But you see, if what you're interested in is your belly and your house and your clothes and your experiences, and you know, you want to have a really nice retirement where you can go on cruises and stuff and go see the Eiffel Tower, if that's your objective in life, you're not aimed right. You're not thinking straight. That's not the way God thinks. You're going the wrong direction. Did you know that God has spiritual desires? He's thinking spiritual things. He's thinking in terms of truth and righteousness and mercy and justice and judgment and love and charity and sound mind. He's thinking of healing, spiritual healing. And most people are thinking of physical healing. Most people are thinking of living a pain-free life most of their life. And you know something? Some people will be just satisfied as they can be if they make it to 100. I find it amazing that people are satisfied with 100 years. I've heard tell that, you know, in another 20 or 30 years, the average life is going to reach upwards of 120 to 150 years. I think they're being very optimistic. But, so what? You get 150 years, you're not thinking straight. Because then you die. You die. And you know something? If you die at 150 years old, your wife's still going to cry. And your children are still going to cry. And you're never going to get back with them again. It's going to be a change in your entire eternity. Let me tell you something. God's not thinking 150 years. Noah lived to be 900 and something. God wasn't satisfied with that. And Noah wasn't either. He was walking with God. He was looking for something else. The Bible says they were looking for a city whose foundation was built by God. He wanted something better. I don't want just this life. I want something more. And people aren't aimed the right way. People are looking for something they can have right now. Aimed wrong. Not Noah. Noah walked with God. Let's talk about the distance, because we're talking about a long distance thing. Noah walked with God for 900 years. That's a long time of walking. By the way, he didn't say he ran with God. Nobody runs that long. For this, you're going to have to walk. And that means there's a pace. There's going to be a steady repetition of certain things over and over for your entire life. That's what walking with God means. Now, if that seems boring to you, well, then you're not going to walk with God. I know some people say, you mean you got to read the Bible every day? Every day? Yeah, it's like taking steps. It's like walking. One step. You don't have to read the whole Bible the first day. But you ought to read something, right? Read your Bible and take a step. You say, well, I can't read. Oh, there's an excuse. There's an excuse. Get it on MP3. You can get it on the internet. You can get it on CD. You can get it on cassette tape. You still got it on cassette tape. Hey, memorize it. There's no excuse. It's walking with God. It's a matter of a distance, a long distance thing. Do you know some people think that getting together with God is just, or getting the gift of eternal life from God is just a matter of repeating a prayer? They don't think of it as a lifelong commitment. They don't think of it as something that's long term in the sense of walking for a long time with God. That all sounds really burdensome and boring. But, you know, if they can just have some real great experience and speak in tongues, everything's going to be all right. But no, it's not about having a great experience. It's about making a decision in your life where you're walking with God and it's a day-to-day experience over and over and over again doing the same old things. Walking is pretty boring. Right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. You get a long way if you just do the right foot, left foot thing. Keep on going. You get an awful long way. Walking really works. But it is a little bit repetitive. So you get tired of going to church, don't you? I heard an amen there. I heard somebody say, yeah, I do. You get tired of looking at me. You get tired of the same old songs, the same old music, the same old everything, same old people, same old body odor, same old everything. Hey, it's walking with God. You just keep on walking. You're not trying to get anywhere fast. And that's another thing, guys. You can't get somewhere fast. A lot of people won't even start if they can't get to it fast. If they can't get it finished fast, they won't even start. Hey, but this is what walking is. You're not going to get there fast. You're just going to keep going the right direction. You take one step farther. You just keep on going. You don't want to go fall backwards. You just keep going forward. That's the idea of walking. It's a distance thing. It's a little bit repetitive. Going to church, praying, reading your Bible, praising. It's a long-suffering thing. It's where you can take some stuff. You can put up with some stuff. You can carry a little bit of a burden. You can even put up with the guy next to you or the girl next to you. You can handle a little bit of difficulties. You can just stand up to a little bit of the temptations. It's a matter of day after day after day of saying, I'm in this for the long haul. Salvation is not about a quick fix. Salvation is about changing your direction and walking with God for the rest of your life until you get to meet Him face to face. That's what walking in God's about. It's about patience. The Bible says, run with patience the race that is set before us. It's about contentment. If you're discontent, you're running, you got to get somewhere fast. But if you're walking, it's because you're content. You're saying, I'm on this road, I'm on the right road, I'm going to walk with God. That's how Noah was. He walked with God. All right, let's talk about the destination. You see, there's a destination when you're walking. You're walking toward a purpose, toward something. What's the destination? Well, it's eternal life. It's the life God has prepared for us. By the way, this is not the eternal life. This is not the whole deal. God gave us a little bit of a glimpse in this life of what He has prepared for us. But we still have not yet imagined all the things He's got waiting for us and the things that He has prepared for us. And I don't think it's going to be boring in heaven. I've heard people say, I don't want to play a harp. Don't they have any guitars in heaven? Hey, listen, I don't think it's just going to be playing harps, although I do read over there there's going to be harps there. That's fine. There'll probably be guitars there. There'll probably be all kinds of things there. I don't think it's going to be boring in heaven. I think God's got big plans. He's got a destination for us. He says, hey, walk with me. I'm going somewhere interesting. I'm going somewhere happy. You know what he says? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and I'll take you to be with me. He says, because where I am, that's where I want you to be. Hey, those are some pretty good words, folks. It's about a destination. This is not your destination, by the way. And the grave is not your destination, by the way. Everybody's going to be risen again. Everybody's going to rise up again. And those that have walked with God are going to go home with God. And those who have not walked with God are going to be judged by justice. God's never done anybody wrong. He's not going to torment or torture anybody more than they deserve. I don't know if that's comforting to you or not, but I believe in God. I believe He is righteous, and I believe He's just and holy. And I don't fear Him if He talks about hell. I don't fear that He's going to do something wrong. He talks about it and He tells you to watch out for it and you ought to be careful about it. But listen, you don't want justice. You want God's mercy. You want to take advantage of the great gospel that Jesus Christ died for you and paid the debt of your sins and rose again to give you eternal life and so that you can start walking with Him now and say, I belong to Him. And then if you belong to Him, you've got a destination. You've got a home prepared for you in His abode, in His mansions, in His house. The Bible says that where I am, there ye may be also. It's a destination. I'll tell you something else. It's not just a physical destination, a place where you're going to live forever with God in usefulness to Him and in fellowship with Him and in good communion and wonderful times. And I'm talking about some good singing and some good fellowship. And I don't know, Jesus even ate after He rose again from the dead. So there might be some good meals up there. I don't know, but it's not going to be bad. But that's not all it's talking about. There's also an objective. Did you know that walking with God has to do with an objective, and the objective is knowing God? It's not just about having some place to go when you're done, big mansion, bright skies. That's not all it's talking about. It's talking about knowing God. There ain't never been a more interesting person in all of history than God. You need to know Him. And if you're not working at knowing Him, if you're not walking with Him, you don't care to know Him. You're missing out on the entire purpose of your life. You've got nothing else to do. Seriously, I know you're thinking, well, what you got to do right now? You're thinking, man, I got something to do at the house right now. No, you've got nothing to do in your entire life except knowing God. Find out about this one God, the one that created you and made you in His image. Find out about Him. Look to Him. Talk to Him. Find out. Get to know Him. That's what walking with God has to do. And if you walk with God and He takes you home with Him, you're going to have an eternity to spend with Him and learn about Him and know Him and even become like Him. That's pretty good stuff. Now, you realize that God is the only permanent relationship you have. Not the relationship between parents and child. That's not permanent. It's wonderful. It's great. And when it's done correctly, it's a beautiful thing. But even that's just to teach you about your relationship to God. God's called Father. Your only permanent relationship is with God. Not with your parents, not with your children, not with your brothers and sisters, and not with your wife. None of these are permanent relationships. The only permanent relationship you have is with God, your Creator, and your Father. If you're born again, if you give your life to Him, He is your Father. And He treats you like a son or a daughter. And He deals with you that way. And He might chasten you. But it's all for your good, so that He can have that fellowship with you. That's your permanent, exclusively permanent relationship. Every other relationship depends upon that one. If you get saved and your husband doesn't get saved, that relationship will end. Now, I know that's really not a positive reinforcement kind of a doctrine to make everybody feel good and walk out of here with warmth in their heart. I'm just letting you know that's what the Bible says. It's not a permanent relationship. You have a father that refuses to accept God, who refuses to walk with Him, refuses God's way, refuses to agree with God, and will not accept God's Word. You have a father like that, and you believe in God, and you're going with God. Your relationship with your father is going to end. But not your relationship to God. That relationship is permanent. And you ought to just bless God if you've got a father that accepts God, accepts the Lord, and you have an entire family that has given themselves over to God. That's a tremendous mercy, so that you have these relationships throughout eternity. I'm just letting you know, they're not the important relationship. The important relationship is the one you have with God. And you've been neglecting it, haven't you? That's why Jesus says, you better not love mother or father more than me. That's why Jesus said that. He even says, if you come to me and you don't hate your father and mother, you're not worthy of me. Now, I'm not trying to diminish in any way the wonderful relationship you have with your parents or your children or your husband and wife. That I think those are wonderful examples of what God's trying to establish with you. But salvation is establishing a relationship with God. You have to have a relationship with God. By the way, salvation is not about being better than your neighbor. It's not about doing a bunch of good stuff. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is an established relationship with God, so that you live with Him when He's ready to take you home. And if you don't have that, you don't have salvation. I don't care how good you are. You're going to be judged in justice. And the better you are, the better it'll go for you. And the worse you are, the worse it's going to go for you. I don't believe in that Jehovah's Witness nonsense where you die and it's all over. You just go into oblivion. Nothing left. No, I believe in justice, and God mentions it many, many times. And if He hadn't mentioned it, you ought to believe in it anyway. God told us right from wrong, and we know what justice is. And I got news for you. Adolf Hitler didn't get justice when he shot himself in the head. Neither did Joseph Stalin. Neither did Mao Zedong, neither did Pol Pot, neither did Ho Chi Minh. None of these people received justice when they died. Not Fidel Castro didn't receive justice when he died. Not Idi Amin did not receive justice when he died. Neither did Osama bin Laden. Did not get justice when they died. Justice is coming. Justice is coming. You don't have to worry about that. That's why God says you don't have to defend yourself or avenge yourself. He says, I will repay. God said that. And I believe Him. I believe He's going to repay. But I don't want justice. I want mercy from God that He offers in the person of Jesus Christ, who died for me that I might live, who gave His life that He could give me life. That's amazing. Now, let me tell you, this longest trip... The longest trip begins with one step. Right? It's hard to get amens out of you folks, you know. Even when you say something that obvious. The longest trip begins with one step. Amen. Wow. We're going to be a Pentecostal church for long, I tell you what. Get people into it. Say, amen, that's wonderful, yeah. Man, the preacher said something right. Amen. I got news for you. I don't care how much God has set you up. I don't care how much God has prepared you. I don't care how many roads He's opened up and all the obstacles He's gotten rid of to bring you to the point of salvation. It depends upon a decision you make. Every trip begins with a step you make. You're going to have to make that decision. God's not going to do it for you. What I want to know, what I want to tell you is that you have something to do if you want to walk with God. If you're not walking with God, you need to know it. First of all, recognize you haven't been following His Word. You have not been giving your life. You have not been repetitively serving Him throughout your life. You have not made that change in your life which makes you right with God. And you haven't been following what He says in His Word. So you're not right with God and you're not walking with God. But God invites you. He says, walk with me. Come, follow me. He says it many times. He says, if you labor and are heavy laden, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest to your souls. Come walk with Jesus Christ. Come walk with God. That's the way salvation works. You begin a relationship with God by a decision you make. First is reconciliation. Talk to Him. Amen. You got to talk to God. God's already talked to you. He's talked to you through His book. He's talked to you through prophets throughout history. He has talked to you through preachers. He even told me to tell you. Maybe that sounds all real important on my side. I'm telling you, it was just that simple. God said, I'm calling you to tell people what I say. And I appreciate that. I appreciate God giving me that opportunity. But I'm telling you, I'm authorized to tell you, the Bible says, come. He's inviting you. He wants you. And you know what you got to do? Talk to Him. Amen. You got to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. This is me. I did not know what to do up to now, but the preacher said, talk to you. So here I am. I'm talking to you. And if you're not willing to talk to Him, you're not going to get right with God and you're not going to start walking with Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him where you're wrong. Tell Him where you've disagreed with Him. Tell Him how you felt all these years. Tell Him what you feel like He's done you wrong. Go ahead, talk to Him. You don't have to worry about hurting His feelings. He is a strong, strong person. He can handle anything you have to say. And let me tell you something. It wouldn't hurt you to be a little humble when you talk to Him. Humble yourself. You say, well, I've never believed in God. My parents never taught me to believe in God. Well, it's time for you to start using your head and not pay attention to your parents and say, God, I need you now. God, I need to get right with you, God. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God and He'll draw nigh unto you. It's a simple decision to talk to God. Tell Him your sins. Tell Him your failures. Tell Him your fears. Tell Him your desires. Talk to Him. If you talk to Him in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no other way to get close to Him, by the way. You can only get close to Him by talking to Him in the name of Jesus Christ because of what Jesus did for you. But if you'll just mention that name, Lord, by Jesus Christ, I'm coming to you. I want to get right with you. I want to talk to you. I want to confess my sins to you. I want to walk with you. And there's another thing. It's as simple as a commitment. Where you make a decision, not just to talk to Him, but to give your life to Him. It's very similar to marriage. By the way, marriage is not a permanent relationship. I don't care what the Mormons say. It's not. You're not going to be married to the same person forever. The Bible says it's up until you die. When you rise again, you're like the angels. There's no more marriage. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Marriage is not, but marriage is taught is to teach you something about your relationship to God. And so it's like in marriage when you say, I take this woman as my wife. I take this man as my husband. It's a commitment for life. Don't pay attention to our laws in Texas which make it a commitment until you have irreconcilable differences. That's not what it is. It's a commitment for life. You say, I take this man as my lawful wedded husband for life. That's the way it is with God. You come to God and you say, God, I give you my life. It's all yours. I want you to be mine and I want to be yours. It's a commitment. Prepare your life. Give it to Him. Hand it over to Him. You got something you're holding back? He won't take you. It'd be like up there at the altar where the preacher says, do you take this woman? Well, pretty much. Almost. I'm getting real close. No, that's not that won't work. You got to give your life to Him. He's already given His life for you. He's already made that decision. He's already said, I do. It's your turn. And then it's a confession. It's real simple. It's where you tell other people what you've done. There are no secret Christians, people. Even if it costs you your life. There are no secret Christians. He says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Words of Jesus Christ. But He says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. There's the promise. It's a confession to Jesus Christ. Now, I just got something to tell you, and then I'm going to close. You can make that decision right now. And you ought to. Don't put it off. You need to make that decision right now. If God's talking to you, telling you, come to me. I gave my life for you. Come to me. Give me your life. You know it's true. You know the Holy Spirit's telling you this. You know He's calling you. He's telling you, come. Come to me. Start walking with me. It's what life is about, by the way. And that's what salvation is, by the way. It's walking with God. Walk with God. Talk to Him. Make the decision right now. Give Him your life. Tell Him your sins. Tell Him what you fear. Tell him about hell, what you fear. Tell Him about heaven, what you want. Tell him what's in your mind. Tell Him what's on your heart. Tell Him what you've lost. Tell Him what you hope He can give you. Just talk to Him. He's an amazing God. He'll listen to you. Ask Him for salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask Him for eternal life. He says if you'll ask Him for His Holy Spirit, He will not deny you it. He will give you His Holy Spirit. That's what He said. It's a promise made in His book, Luke chapter 11. He would not deny you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him for it.
Right.
Make your commitment to Him. Tell Him you give Him everything you've got. Not much there, but give it all to Him. You got not much to offer. In fact, don't offer Him anything that you think He might like, because it might offend Him. You say, Lord, take into consideration that I've been a pretty good person. It's going to like turn Him off. Don't do that. Tell Him you're a sinner and tell Him you want Him. You give Him everything you've got, your whole entire life. Don't offer Him anything that you think He might value. There is nothing that we have to offer Him except ourselves. Give yourself to Him. And then confess to the world that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're saved and you're walking with God. And that's what salvation is, and that's what eternal life is about. It's what the Bible is telling you to do. And you can do that right now. I'm going to pray to close us out. And while I pray to close us out, you can start your talk with God right now. I tell you to do it. And if you have any question, you can come talk to me. Or you can talk to Brian, the guy that gave the announcements. He's ready for you. Or you can talk to the guy that taught the Sunday school. You see any of us around, we're not too busy for you. This is what we live for. This is what we do. We'd like to talk to you more about the gospel and explain the gospel to you so that you can have eternal life and not lose your soul in hell. Let's pray. Lord, we love You and we thank You.